Extend a hearty Christian welcome to all gathered here to church service here this morning. Certainly a blessing and to be with you all. And I've been blessed by two young men this morning. Think of our youth. Sometimes we say now youth, we instruct them. But I saw the Holy Spirit working through two youth this morning. And I saw with Barry's devotions about the geese. It fits a theme that I have here this morning. And Brother Lauren, with this, oh God, what offering shall I give? That's basically the theme of the message this morning. So I saw God working through you two young men, and God bless you for that. I'm always thrilled whenever I see the Holy Spirit building the service. And so God bless you for letting the Holy Spirit work in your lives. The message title this morning is Two Turtle Doves. Turtle doves are migrants. They spend the months of April to October in the land of Israel. Their colors are pure white to chestnut colored variations. The Bible mentions doves and pigeons as the same animal. They are from the same family. Doves fill the air with a soft cooing. Song of Solomon 2:11-12 says, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." I wish for that this morning, don't you? With our scenery out here, what we have and what we've been having, as winter is still here. But here in the spring, even in the land of USA, we'll hear the sound of the turtle dove here in the spring. Doves are gentle birds. They never attack or retaliate against their enemies. Even when their young are attacked, they only give a pitiful call of distress. Doves are known for their innocence and gentle nature. For these characteristics, the dove is a common religious symbol. Doves symbolize peace, love, forgiveness, and the church. The Holy Spirit took the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism. Just some information about doves. Turn with me to the first scripture, Leviticus. I'm going to be taking some of the thoughts out of the book of Leviticus. In chapter 14, I'd like to read the first seven verses. Leviticus 14, starting to read at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Here we have the lesson of the cleansing of the leper using two turtle doves or pigeons. The Bible uses pigeons and doves interchangeably, so don't do an injustice to say either one. God's way of cleansing the leper was before joining the society of the Israelites was using these two birds. Also in Leviticus 12:6-8, in chapter 15:14, I'm not going to read those verses. There we have the principle of the purification of men and women. And it required also two turtle doves. One turtle dove was for a burnt offering, and the other turtle dove was for a sin offering. Now those are some of the scriptures from Leviticus, the Old Testament. And I like how the Old Testament and the New Testament, how they dovetail. So I'll take you to Luke 2, the next scripture. Luke 2, and I was also inspired with Brother Keith there in the opening, how we quoted this, and I thought about that when we were quoting these words. I'll be reading that same verses. Luke 2, verses 21 to 30. Now think about the two turtle doves here. Luke 2, 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here we have Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fulfilling the Mosaic law of offering two turtle doves, one for burnt offering and one for sin offering, purification. The burnt offering one was for worship, and the other one was for sin offering, the purification of the person. Or we can say the cleansing. Two very insignificant, inexpensive birds offered according to the prescribed Mosaic law brought cleansing to Israelites and to the gifts and gifts for worship to a great, mighty God. Even the poorest of Jewish families had a means of meeting Mosaic requirements by the lowly, innocent doves. The gift of animals brought to the tabernacle expressed the monetary class of the Jewish families. For example, in the Old Testament, we have the example of Elkanah and Hannah, and how Hannah wished for a child, and she prayed there in the tabernacle, and Eli saw her, and he thought she was a drunkard. He thought she was drinking too much. He said, why are you acting like this? She said, no, I'm not a drunkard. I'm not drinking strong drink. It's my heart, my soul was so burdened with my desire for a child. And Eli said, God bless you in that desire. And she was given a son. So after Hannah weaned little Samuel, Elkanah told her to go. And what did he give her? He gave her 3 bullocks, an ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. That showed the monetary class of Elkanah, Hannah, and his second wife. This is an example of a rich Jewish family. An example of a poverty-stricken family. I just got done reading that in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 30. The story of Jesus and his father, Joseph, and Mary, his parents on earth, how they took 2 turtle doves to the house of worship with baby Jesus. They didn't bring 3 bullocks. They didn't bring a lamb. They brought 2 doves. So what they brought as worship and also as a burnt offering showed the monetary class that they were in their society. So we have Jesus and his family, Joseph and Mary, as the family was a very, very poor family in the land of Israel. The doves were sufficient when they didn't have bullocks and lambs and so on. What lessons can we learn from 2 little defenseless birds offered for burnt offerings and the sins of mankind? 1, God invites all mankind to be cleansed at the foot of the cross. the first scripture I looked at is Leviticus 14, 1 to 7. I won't read that again. But there we have the leper and the leprosy along with two turtle doves providing cleansing. The leper could then rejoin Jewish society. Doves' heads were wringed off their bodies. The blood cleansed the individual because it was God's prescribed way. In our New Testament dispensation, we have the cross for our place of cleansing. Jesus' blood was shed there on the hill of Calvary. All are invited to be cleansed at the foot of the cross. The Bible says ye must be born again. Most of you here have been born again. There could be some of you here that are not born again. You were born once by your mother. But you need to be born the second time, the spiritual being born again. It's wonderful having an instruction class that we have this morning. Those precious souls that gave their hearts to the Lord, wonderful how the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. They all came to the foot of the cross. All of us need to come to the foot of the cross. It's not the door of the tabernacle anymore. It's the foot of the cross. We come for cleansing of our sin. Sometimes our faults overtake us because we are ignorant of them or failed to act on them soon enough. Faults are where backsliding begins. You and I must deal with our faults, lest our faults multiply. And Scripture talks about being overtaken in a fault. And after being overtaken in a fault, I think the next step is wickedness. So it's essential for us as Christians to work with our faults early on. And our brothers and sisters, our family units, all that, they can bump us in the shoulder and say, why do you do this, or question us and so on. That's good. It's part of also clearing up our fault system in us. We'll always be faulty people. We'll always be a little short of being perfect, just the way we are. But with the help of others, the help of Jesus, and coming again and again to the foot of the cross, whenever we need our faults confessed, whenever we need to confess some waywardness of our life, we can come again to the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross is not just a one and done time for us. Any time that we sin and we know, and maybe we have our devotions and we read the word and it's like a mirror to us and we see we have erred, let's freely get down on our knees and at the foot of the cross and confess that waywardness. Confess and get back on track to again get our feet back on the straight and narrow road that leads to heaven. It's so easy to be a backslider in the land we live. There are so many snares. There's wealth, there's position, there's pleasure. There's all kinds of snares for our feet. And just the cares of life. You families, especially young families, you're in the heat of the battle, raising your children. And just the cares of life can drown out the spiritual vitality of our life because we're so busy doing this and that and the other thing for our families, and that's important. We need to provide for them. We must never neglect the spiritual needs of our heart and our soul. If we neglect them because of the cares of life, we'll bankrupt spiritually, and then our families will suffer because of it. All of us have been lepers, stained with the sin of leprosy. We have been guilty of sin, the type of leprosy. We needed the blood at the cross to wash away our sin. God, through Jesus' blood, cleanses us and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Are you a new creature here this morning? I hope that you are. Are you a new creature but becoming a bad creature, meaning you're slipping, you're backsliding, you're falling backwards? Well, you need to again come to the cross and become a brand new creature again, washed up by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't come to the door of the tabernacle like the Old Testament saint, but we come to the foot of the cross, there for cleansing. Just like that one turtle dove did for the Old Testament saint. The next main point Old Testament dispensation, all Israelites were the same. Socially, the spiritual class was the same at the door of the tabernacle. Socially and spiritually, all Israelites, as they came to the door of the tabernacle with their bullocks, with their lambs, with their doves, with the meal, whatever their offering was, as they came to the door of the tabernacle, as they all came there, they represented a need. They needed cleansing. They needed help. And so at that platform, all Israelites, whether it was a leader, whether it was a leader or maybe some other Israelite, they all came to the door of the tabernacle. And so it showed that all were the same level socially and spiritually. Bullocks, lambs, kids, doves, and meal were the offerings brought to the door of the tabernacle. These gifts showed their monetary class, whether they were rich, whether they were middle class, whether they were poor or destitute. Regardless of the gifts, all had a need. They all had a spiritual need as they came to the door of the tabernacle. That need was cleansing. All the Jewish people became equals at the door of the tabernacle in search of cleansing. In our New Testament dispensation, all of us, whether rich, middle class, poor, or destitute, we all become equals at the foot of the cross. Why is that? It's because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need cleansing. So it doesn't matter what rank you are, how rich you are, what social class you are, what position you are. I'm a deacon. It matters nothing as far as my spirituality. I'm the same as you are at the foot of the cross. Our bishops, our ministers, and you all, we're all the same at the foot of the cross because we all have the same need, the need of cleansing. Cleansing. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Spiritually, we're all the same class at the foot of the cross. It should be in the church that we have so much care and compassion for each other that social class is thrown out the window. All of us, as we come in the church, we should all feel loved, appreciated, cared for, and all the adjectives you can give. At the foot of the cross, there is no social class in the church. There is none. If you're rich, you're the richest man here in this church. It means nothing. If you're a middle-class person here in the church, financially, socially, whatever, it means nothing. If you are the poorest person here at Blue Ridge in this church, it means nothing. You are spiritually the same. If you are destitute here this morning, you have no money, you have no house, you have no land, you're whatever. You have nothing to your name. You're destitute. It means nothing in the church. At the foot of the cross, you're socially the same. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. You're all the same at the foot of the cross. We all should feel and act as equals spiritually. God has given us different responsibilities, but we all are equally the same spiritually and socially. Do not secretly despise your brother or sister in the church. God cleansed them. He cleansed you. What superiority can you claim over your brother or sister? Do not be exalted or demoralized by your ranking in the church. We're all poor creatures, saved by the blood and the grace of the Lord Jesus. We all can be employed in the work of God's kingdom. We all can be useful and fruitful. Isn't that what it should be in the Christian life? We're all useful and we're all fruitful. Number three, main point. God's people are invited to worship. The one turtle dove was for cleansing, and I've spoken and enlarged on that point, on that dove. Now I want to speak about the other dove, the dove for the burnt offering. Turn with me to same book we looked at. We'll go to the first chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 14, and this is the second dove I'm calling. It's the one that was used for a burnt sacrifice. And look the good that it did. Verse 14, chapter 1 of Leviticus. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. The second dove is a burnt sacrifice offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Note that, a sweet savor unto the Lord. That inexpensive little creature, the dove, was a sweet savor unto the Lord. The one dove was for cleansing, and the second one here was for a burnt offering unto the Lord. The second dove offered by fire pleased the Lord. The smell came up off of the altar, and God smelled the smell of that burnt dove, and he was pleased with that offering. God was pleased with the worshipers that offered the doves. God wants us to worship him in our dispensation. He wants us to worship only him, only God. There's only one God that we worship, but there are many gods in this world that are trying to get our affection, get our heart's adoration. But God wants all of our hearts, soul, minds, and strength. You think of back in the test of Jesus there in the wilderness, and that shows to me how intensely interested God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom are in the subject of worship. Each kingdom wants the worship of humans. So we have Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he fasted and prayed for 40 days, 40 nights. And afterward it says the devil came and he tempted him. He says, if thou be the Son of God. And Jesus would say, it is written, it is written, it is written three times. And Jesus won the victory there. And one time Satan said, fall down and worship me. It's exactly what he wanted. Fall down and worship me. What if Jesus would have succumbed and fell down at the devil's feet and worshiped him? Yes, he could bypass the cross, but we would have missed out on salvation. But Jesus did it perfectly. He dotted every I. He crossed every T of the Mosaic law and all fulfillment God wanted him to do. He did not worship the devil. Instead, he worshiped God, the word, Mosaic law, says, it is written, it is written, it is written. But Jesus was so weak from all his fasting and prayer that it said that the angels came and ministered to him, that he was victorious over all of that. So we have two great kingdoms in this world, God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. They both want the worship of you. They both want the worship of you. Now, I thought of this already, as we think of our lives, and you think, okay, on Friday, my wife and I and her parents went into Swatara and went to the viewing of John David Whitmer. They're 84 years old. He passed away, and we saw him there lying in the coffin. And I wondered already, you know, after our life is over, in the lifespan of man and woman on life, you know, what value is it to God? Well, the value system to God of you and I is the fact of our worship. I think that's key. God wants our worship. It's like a sweet savor to him. That little, insignificant, inexpensive dove offered according to Mosaic law, was a sweet smell to the nostrils of God. And so it is with you, as a worshiper here at Blue Ridge this morning. Whatever you brought here, the gift, like in the song we sang in the back of our Sunday school court, the gift, what gift did you bring here to God's kingdom this morning? As you came to worship, what gift did you bring? Whatever that gift is, or was, it's a sweet savor to the nostrils of God. And that's what means so much to the two kingdoms, to God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. God forbid that we'd ever give any worship to Satan, the world, and the lusts of this world. The fourth main point, bring your gifts along to worship services. God was pleased with the Jewish worshiper who brought one turtle dove for a burnt offering. It was a sweet savor to God's nostrils. What turtle dove can you and I bring, God, as we come to church to worship? And I have six turtle doves you can bring to church. And they cost very little from your wallet. If you are poor, you're destitute here this morning, you can still bring a gift to God. Maybe you're one of those, like Elkanah, you can bring three bullocks every Sunday morning. And it changes that number, the one and the two of the thousands up here, the three bullocks. Maybe you're one in the middle class, you can change the hundreds. Maybe you're one that come to church, and you could change the cents in the last of the column. But it's all a gift, you see. It's all a gift to the Lord. It's a dove. Number one, a turtle dove attitude of love. Holy love. You can bring a holy love to church because God's work in your heart there at the foot of the cross. The agape love. As you come in these doors, as you come and sit in these pews, you can bring the turtle dove of love, a holy love. And if you have a holy love for one another in this church, it's going to be a church you crave to come to. It'll be a church that you love dearly. A holy love for our brothers and sisters is that agape love. It's more than just the filial love or how I feel this morning. I'm not sure if you have a headache this morning. I'm not sure what kind of problem you may have brought to church. And you maybe don't feel quite 100%. But you have a holy love in your heart, and you choose that agape love to express that to your sister, from sister to sister, brother to brother. The turtle dove attitude of love. Agape love, we choose love regardless of how we feel. Number two, turtle dove. A turtle dove attitude of peace. Do you love peace in your heart? Tonight, if time tarries and you go home, maybe this afternoon you'll take a nap, lay your head in your pillow and get some much-needed rest because you had such a hard week. But if not, even if you do tonight, you'll want to sleep some more. As you lay your head on your pillow, it's much easier to sleep, right, if you have peace in your heart. The turtle dove of peace in your heart. What a treasure, what a blessing. If there's not peace in the heart, we can come to the foot of the cross and get it right. We can have peace, you see, at the foot of the cross. You don't need to go to the door of the tabernacle with even love, a dove. You just bring yourself, your sinful self, your selfish self, your self-willed self at the foot of the cross and get cleaned up. Take care of the resistance, the divisiveness, whatever may be in your heart. A turtle dove attitude of peace. Do you love peace in your heart? Do you love peace at home? Do you love peace at school? Do you love peace at church? Do you love peace at work? It takes work to respond peaceably to all men. The third dove attitude, a turtle dove attitude of forgiveness. Do you enjoy when someone exacts payment for some flaw in your humanity? You say, oh, I treasure that. Well, you say, no, how foolish. Whatever humanity flaw you have, your idiosyncrasy, whatever little thing that irritates people, and they exact something out of that, is that wonderful? It's not, is it? A turtle dove attitude of forgiveness. Isn't it so wonderful that whenever we have our flaws, and we sit around the table, we live our life, we come home to our household, our wife, our children, they love us so much that they overlook our idiosyncrasies, the little things that irritate. They just have a love, and they have a forgiveness for us. And we say, what a treasure. They don't exact a lot of it out of us because of this or that. They may mention it. Hey, you have this problem. Yes, we agree. But it's just so hard for us to be perfect. The beautiful turtle dove attitude of forgiveness. The fourth one, a turtle dove attitude of gentleness. Gentleness. See, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And us men, we probably are the ones that are not as we should be as far as this fruit, the Spirit fruit. We tend to be rougher, tend to be, grab life by the horns. And sometimes we're not as gentle to other people as we should be in our homes, who we work with at work, and so on. But a turtle dove attitude of gentleness is of God. It's of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to work on that. Would you much rather work at work with those that are gentle or those that are harsh and abrasive and exacting? And yes, I know who or what group I would like to work with, and you do too. The fifth turtle dove attitude, a turtle dove attitude of a non-resistant heart. Bring an acceptable attitude to church. Have you ever thought this? Sometimes we teach about non-resistance. Non-resistance as it relates to the military, our young men. No, we do not want them to go if they're drafted, or say we, U.S. and China have a conflict and many men are needed to fight the war between China and U.S. Something to put out there that's not real. But we would really start teaching about non-resistance, wouldn't we? You know how to be ready for a time like that, of a drafting or trying to get our young people, women or men, to the military force? It's this way. In your home, Father, are you non-resistant? Are you non-resistant to your wife? Wife, are you non-resistant to your husband? And children, are you non-resistant to your parents? And parents, are you non-resistant to your children? See, the turtle dove attitude of non-resistance. And when you go to school, children, are you non-resistant to others in your classroom? Teachers, are you non-resistant to your students? And when you come to church, sisters, are you non-resistant to your sisters? And brethren, are you non-resistant to your brethren in church? When you get all that, along with this, when you go to work, are you non-resistant at work? And you go into society, are you non-resistant in society? In the small things of life. And I say if you win on those points, you will be ready. If we have a fight, U.S. has a fight with China, and you're trying to get all you young men to enlist, you'll say no, because you've been non-resistant in all of these areas. The turtle dove attitude of an unresistant heart. And Matthew 10:16 says that we are to be as we're sent out. Jesus sent out his disciples. And he says, go out and be wise as serpents and what? Harmless as doves. The last main point, the turtle dove attitude, I mean, bring a physical turtle dove offering. What I mean, something that's tangible. When you come to church, bring a turtle dove for an offering. God wants to smell that offering coming up to him out of the Blue Ridge congregation. Every one of us. We can afford something. We can afford a turtle dove. Bring it along. God wants to smell that burnt offering of a turtle dove. We understand we don't do that in New Dispensation. But I'm saying whatever it is. It's a dollar. It's a $5 bill. Youth. Young children. It's thousands. Bullocks, it's lambs, it's hundreds, so on. Comparison can be. Bring a physical turtle dove to church, to God's kingdom. Bring it as an offering. God wants to smell that offering. It will help also the aspects of God's kingdom, the school, the church functions, the mission functions, all that. all need turtle doves. Bring some money for the offering, coins, dollars, hundreds, thousands, 10,000, so on. God will be pleased and will help his kingdom. In the end, two turtle doves. Do not be ashamed to give them to God. Let's kneel for prayer.